Streaming your church services offers a wonderful way to connect with members who can't attend in person and also reach new people. But keeping viewers engaged throughout the event can be a challenge. Well, we've got some tips that can help you next on the Church Solutions Podcast.
It's the Church Solutions Podcast, brought to you by StreamingChurch.tv. The Church Solutions Podcast is all about helping you and your church with technology and other resources for your life and ministry. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Lacy and Phil Thompson.
It's the Church Solutions Podcast. My name is Phil Thompson.
And I'm Steve Lacy.
And this is episode number 428. How are you doing today, Steve Lacy?
I'm doing great.
All right, good to hear that. Before we get into our topic, I want to remind everybody, we have got a pretty cool webinar coming up, and it's happening May 14th. Hopefully, you've been listening to this podcast before May 14th. And all you got to do is sign up for it. It's webinar.streamingchurch.tv is where you sign up for the webinar. But what's the webinar all about? People are probably like, why do I want to sign up for something?
The webinar is titled Preach Once, Inspire Daily. So this is a way to leverage your sermons to get your people involved. So, and get them involved daily, easily, quickly, and interacting with each other and interacting with your message.
Very minimal work on the part of the pastor. He or she is going to have to create a sermon, which they usually do every week.
Yes.
And from that sermon, this new tool takes over and does a lot of cool things. And if you're interested in it, it's just go to webinar.streamingchurch.tv. And you'll see it there, and you can sign up, and we'll have a Q&A afterwards. I think people are going to like this. It's a new product. It's a brand new product. Brand new.
Yep.
So it's something to get in on the cutting edge. You'll learn something about it. All right, let's jump into our topic today. So topic is, I'm calling this Captivating Your Congregation, Keeping Your Online Viewers Engaged with Streaming Video. One of the complaints that we get quite often as a streaming company is like, hey, we love you guys. Your service is great, but how do I get viewers, and how do I keep viewers, and what can I do for all that stuff? So we thought we would take a little bit of time to address this. I have some notes I put together. Steve looked at my notes and promptly added some of his notes to it. So we're all going to be all over the map here, but it will be on the topic. It's just that he'll come in and say, well, here's my notes on this. So go by my notes.
For sure. Yeah.
All right. So now that we've confused people, let me put my glasses on and read my notes. I just mentioned, I just set this up, right? You're streaming, but you want to really keep your members, your viewers engaged. You don't want it to be stale. So there's a few things you should think about. Back in 2020, you just kind of cut and paste, right? You just went ahead and stuck a camera up and there you go, we're streaming. And then now that the pandemic has subsided, there's people that are still watching online, but you still have a great tool here that you could use, but you do need to put a little bit of effort into it. Not a lot, but a little bit of effort. And one of them is you got to know your audience. Now that's easier said than done, especially if you're new, but if you have a good idea, you can, like with us, streamingchurch.tv, we have, analytics and reports and stuff that you can kind of learn, what are your viewers watching on, how long are they watching, those kind of things. But you do need to consider your demographics and the online habits of your people. That's very important when it comes to really creating something that's going to be engaging. Certainly, go ahead, Steve. I'm sorry.
In my head, I'm putting together this mental exercise of, imagine that your worship band and everything just kind of went away, and all you did was play a video of that. And how would you get your people engaged if you were just sitting there doing playing a video of your service? It creates a very different environment to get involved with. So, your key point initially is, know your audience and know who's there, know what's motivating them. You need to be able to do that. But I kind of see this as maybe a similar challenge is, once I change the format for my church service, and I take away some of the in-person things that I get when I go to my church service. And I'm now watching a screen. How do I interact with my people? How do I get them engaged? And what's changed in that environment, and how should I change things to address that new environment? And knowing your audience, knowing how people are watching, if most, the majority of people are sitting there around with their family and they're watching on a TV, that's one environment. If most people are there just looking down at their phone, so it's a single person kind of audience, that's a different kind of audience, and you're going to do some different things to getting to engage that audience as well. So.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. I think that's a good point. So you got to know your audience and then work from there. Obviously you need to promote, and I've got this in the notes. It sounds like a no-brainer, right? But the truth is, you can't just say something once. And if you're a pastor, and you should know this by now, when you make an announcement from the pulpit, one time is not going to do it. It's not going to cut it. People have to have it in front of them all the time, whatever it is you're announcing, whatever it is you want people to be a part of. And it's the same way with the live streaming. You want to make sure that you promote this thing and that you get it out there, multiple platforms, to let people know over and over again.
I think the key thing with the live, the easiest thing to do, which kills two birds with one stone, is to talk to your online audience. So people in the audience, they're going, oh, they're live streaming this thing. I know they told me in the announcements they were going to live stream this thing, or I saw it on Facebook they're going to live stream this thing, but now I know that, wow, they're live streaming this thing. Now I could probably invite, Betty to at least join the live stream. So that you kill two birds with one stone by addressing the online audience during your service. And you have your people doing announcements, people who are leading worship, and the pastor all, speaking to the camera and addressing that online audience. And so that does, a couple of things, kills two birds with one stone.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It includes everybody, and it lets them know, hey, this is a bigger world than just us inside these four walls. There's people watching, potentially lots of people could be watching all over the world. So letting people know that is so good. So the third one is too, another point is before the broadcast or during the stream. Well, let me back up and say before the stream starts, and this could be during the week before, really encourage your members and your viewers to get involved early. Like, maybe, hey, do you have a prayer request? Let us know. We'll pray for you. Do you have questions about things? Let us know. What you want to do is create some anticipation. You want to kind of build on it. So that's where you reach out before the live stream, usually during the week, either in your newsletters, even your social media channels. You just kind of get some spark going there. The note says spark pre-engagement, and that's really what you're doing. You want to create a little spark there where there's some interest in something. And that, of course, would be also promoting what you're actually going to be doing. If there's a specific topic, make sure you promote that topic that you're, whatever it is, whatever it's a specific book in the Bible or, a different topic.
Yeah, exactly. Oh.
So as we move on here a little bit, we always want to say this over and over again, and that is you want to make sure that your quality of your video and your audio is good, is very good. In fact, I would even emphasize your audio should be very good. Your video doesn't have to be crystal 4K, but people, if they can't hear what you're saying, or if it's muffled, or if the sound is muddied, or there's some kind of a sorry, it's my meditation time. If there's some kind of a hum going on, nobody's going to stick around for that. You know what I'm saying?
Yep, exactly. I mean, that's number one reason people are going to bail on the service is just if it's annoying or there's any kind of problem with it.
Yeah,
They're just like,
yeah.
ah,
Yeah, like
we'll try this.
somebody's got a water fountain running in the background, maybe something like that. Can you hear my fountain, by the way?
I cannot.
Ah, see,
So.
I fixed that. So anyhow, I have a fountain in my office. Anybody cares? I've had it for years, and generally it gets on Steve's nerves. So anyhow, you want to definitely really make sure that you've got some quality audio and video. And we can obviously we can help you there, but there's lots of opportunities there to upgrade your equipment and not necessarily have to spend a lot of money. All right, so another thing to consider if you want to really continue to have your congregation watch and new people watch and keep them watching is, you want to have a reliable streaming platform. And I've just had some complaints this week from people that were on a free platform. I won't say what company it was, but its initials are Facebook. They had some issues, and sometimes it's reliable and sometimes it's not. Mostly it's reliable, but there are issues that come up, and there's other, as we've talked about before, there's pros and cons to doing free services. But you want a reliable platform. You want it so that it offers smooth, trouble-free streaming, easily accessible for your viewers. They don't have to jump through a lot of hoops. You also want to make sure that people can find your live stream. So you want to make sure, as we've said in the past, that it's very obvious when people go to your website that they can click on something for your live stream or your archives.
Exactly. This kind of just goes into the, if there's going to be a hiccup or anything annoying going on during the service, then that's going to drive people away.
Absolutely. And of course, you want to test. We hit this over the head a lot, but you do want to make sure you're testing your stream. And that just means, give yourself plenty of time to boot all the equipment up. Make sure the stream is working, stream on ahead of time. Make sure your audio levels and your video and your camera's in the right place and just everything's working. Run a test, and make sure that things are going well. All right. So let's talk a little bit about, you have something to add to that, Steve?
No, I was just
Okay.
gonna I was gonna throw in that a lot of stuff we're going through right here is kind of the blocking and tackling. If you've been streaming for a while and you're gonna recognize all of this. I got a note from a pastor not too long ago that said, how can I basically how can I increase the fruit of my efforts in the streaming area? And I was pointing him to one some tips and pointers from Jason Moore, which may be a little out of the ordinary. Actually, it is somewhat out of the ordinary, but if you look at what he's recommending, it really does apply to our online audience.
Okay.
So
So Jason Moore, we've had Jason on here before. He's well known in the different circles, written some books. So what is Jason Moore saying?
Jason Moore has there's some things that are different with your online audience. Number one, they're typically more distracted, less patient. It's very easy for them to switch off the stream as opposed to they can't walk out of your service quite as comfortably when they feel like it as they could just flick the service away and be off doing something else. So their attention span is shorter, and there's kind of a consensus around those that do ministry online or that really promote the digital ministry side of things is the format needs to be shorter for that online group. It needs to be less, if you have a 2-hour service, they're probably not going to be as patient through a 2-hour online service. So he's got some ideas. Number one, people are going to have they're going to have a shorter attention span and they're going to be more distracted. And so he's thrown out three different approaches that you can do that would address this concern and try to make your online stream much more vibrant. So one is that the traditional route, and that's kind of the middle of his thing, was that you have a simultaneous in-person and live stream, and that's the majority of everybody, so that they're broadcasting live while the service is happening live. So that's the first format. And he suggested some things here that are around that maybe you may want to shorten the worship session or start the live stream after the second or third song of the worship set and then end it after the message, so that the live stream online is more bite size. So just some suggestions he's thrown out there. I haven't heard any feedback from other churches that have implemented it, but these are just some ideas to kind of liven up your life, your service. So the three approaches he has are how to maximize the live that occurs while you're doing the service. The other approach would be to create a live service that you put together specifically for the live service beforehand. So before you're having your Sunday morning 9 a.m. service, is you would put together a pre-recorded online service that plays at the 9 a.m. service. So there's some options there for creating a program that is 100% targeted towards your live stream people. So, and again, that's maybe condensing the message a little bit. Maybe you have to do a little bit. You're gonna have to do a little more work with this, with all of his options. Number one, you're
Well,
gonna have to do some editing.
yeah, you would. One of the things that comes to my mind, and that is, when you're trying to tailor something to your online viewers, is, you mentioned mentioning them earlier, but also the breakaway thing, which I don't understand why more people don't do this. We did it years ago when I was with your church, and that is, you do a breakaway from the auditorium to the church online pastor. Well, the web host, whatever you want to call it. It's not that hard to do now with digital stuff is out there very easily. You can take a camera that's doesn't have to be a top-notch camera, but it can be a good camera that you can get, even a consumer-grade camcorder, and you can do breakaways where the church online guy is
And
addressing your
that's
people.
yeah, and that's the one of the points he makes in his book about the simultaneous where you're live, and it's like when you're watching a sporting event online. So it's put on this mindset of sporting events and look at the sporting events. And during the injury on the field that may last 5 minutes, the TV stations don't just say, "Oh, he's wiggling his foot now," and "Oh, now the people are coming." They break away to something that's going to be more appealing to the people watching online. So a lot of times it's commercials, but it can be, a lot of times there'll be events, live sporting events that are like rained out. I was watching one recently, and so they have backup material that's more relevant for that online audience. So your example of the breakaway is exactly that, taking that period of time that's not going to be as applicable to the online person, or as exciting or vibrant as the online person, take that section of the live event out and break away to something that is completely dedicated to that. So, yeah. So anyway, yeah, there's all kinds of different, techniques here. And so just touching the highlights, we don't have to get into any of the details of this, but his basically was you have three options here: your simultaneous live and in-person and live broadcast, the one that you tailor up front for that you play during your service. And then the other one would be playing where you record your service and you edit it. And then you put together a live service, live stream, which is going to take place after your live after your in-person stream.
You might call it a simulated live, maybe, almost.
It could be a simulated live, but it's targeted towards that online audience, and it just uses the material that you had that you recorded during your live service. So you record your live service, and if you're, you can create an environment where there's breakaways to, live hosts, and there's things are more condensed. Worship sets might not be as long. Announcements definitely not going to be in there, or any other stuff that happens during the service that's not going to be, prime time worthy.
Yeah, it's really it gets down to hate to use the term because it's overused a lot, but thinking outside the box. I mean, it's thinking differently. Thinking, it's not just a, as Kenny Jeong likes to say, cut and paste. You don't want to do a cut and paste thing anymore. You really want to make it so that your live streaming stands out. It's engaging. It's probably a little different, hopefully, but it still gets the message across that you desire to get across to people.
Yeah. And you think back to, well, television wasn't around then, but very early on, I'm sure televised sports events were nothing like they're done today. So, I mean, it was before early on, it was probably stick a camera up and the game goes on and you're kind of sitting in the stands with, from the vantage point of the camera. And today there's color commentary and there's breakaways and there's all this behind the scenes and all this stuff that enhances the live event. So we need to put on that hat as churches as we're getting more and more into this, production arena for the live event.
And I certainly can relate. I can remember watching baseball games as a little kid in the early 1960s, and all you had was like a camera up above home plate, and you saw the pitcher throwing to the catcher and the batter up there swinging, and you occasionally it would shoot out to a different angle, but they probably had like two cameras maybe that they used the whole time, for a baseball game. And now, of course, there's multiple cameras everywhere. But so let me just address this thing you mentioned, and that is production. It's become more production oriented to do what we're trying to describe here. So is that does do you think that's going to shy some churches away? It's like, oh, I don't want to get into this production thing. We're not a production studio, we're a church.
Yeah, I think the skill set for reaching people is as the medium for reaching people changes, you need to adapt and develop those skill sets. Or you abandon that medium, and I think it's just like anything, that as technology and times change and you have different ways of reaching people, you want to become effective at those ways. You want to bring on, especially if you look at the lineup on your staff right now, there's roles there that didn't exist, 20 years ago. And we have social media coordinators. I mean, who needed a social media coordinator 25 years ago? No one needed a social media coordinator because that was not an avenue for doing ministry or reaching people. And now that it is a prominent avenue, then, and it's the same with, a lot of churches have videographers or design kind of oriented people on their staff or people that have just picked up that talent, that have just stepped up and say, hey, I'm going to go and get good at figuring out camera angles or, we got guys that are complete self-taught at our church, but they do a really now they do a really good job. But you've got to, I mean, if it's a medium that you're going to invest in to reach your people, you want to do it well. So you may, and some of the skills that you needed 20 years ago, you don't need anymore. So you retool your staff to be effective in the world today.
Yeah, I think, and speaking as somebody who has worked on staff at small churches as well as medium-sized churches, I just feel like sometimes you gotta start with where you're at. So maybe
Oh,
somebody's
yeah.
listening to this podcast and they're just overwhelmed. Oh, what am I gonna do? I do breakaways, do this, do that, But I would say
Or,
start where you're at
yeah,
and
exactly. I
start
mean,
small.
and speaking of, 25 years ago, churches didn't have a website. And there's today, I think you're going to find it hard to find a church that doesn't have a website. And so there's, building websites was not a skill that churches had. They just figured it out. Or you've hired the right help and, bring on talent. And yeah. Because it's just another ministry tool that didn't exist in the past. And I think live streaming is another ministry tool that we didn't have in the past, and we need to mature with it as it gets, so we need to address our audiences.
Well, yeah, it goes back to where you were at. I think I was in Kansas at the time pastoring, but the church, a live church where you're at now and where I used to be at, I mean, you just brought in a your consumer grade camcorder and stuck it on a tripod, and that's how everything got started, right?
Yep, that's it. You start where
So,
you're at,
yeah.
and it opened a whole new avenue of people that weren't being reached before.
Yeah,
So.
absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah, absolutely. Okay. So let's just kind of wrap this thing up. Yeah, we'll plug Jason Moore. If people listening here, just Google Jason Moore. He's been involved with the Nazarene churches for years, and he goes out and speaks and does a lot of things. Got some great books out there. Both, what's that book? Both and, is that what it's the
Both
latest
and
book?
yeah.
Yeah, Both and, Both slash and, whatever. So that's a good book. We've had him on here before, and if you want to search our podcast, Church Solutions Podcast, you can hear him on there. He did a webinar. All right, so we're just about done here. Let me just wrap up and say that after the streaming is done, which Steve alluded to earlier, maybe do some editing, put something up online that may not be the whole service, but maybe bits and pieces of it. You can share your key takeaways from the message. Again, different places you can share them. You can do it on social media, but you could do it in your newsletter for the next week and invite people to come back or to catch up on something they may have missed. And you should always respond to people's comments and questions and messages, whether it's emails or social media, whatever. You should always respond to those things. And I think if you begin to do some of these things on a more regular basis, you will find more people are going to be sticking around and coming back for the live stream, and you'll get some new people too, and you can reach more people.
Yeah, it's just making sure that life is maintained. So
Yes.
if there's a post and you look and well, wow, no one ever responded to that thing, and that was 6 weeks ago, or I go to their website
Yes.
and they got 6 weeks old stuff, you're like, there's some dent going on here. You know, there's no life. So you've got to continually ingest, respond to posts, and you know, just
The devil's in the details, or
Show that
no.
you're alive there and keep this community alive, and then it'll grow into something.
Be consistent is what we're trying to
Yeah.
say here, and you do
Yeah.
have to follow the details and be consistent. But if you're consistent, you'll see eventually. You'll reap a harvest, so to speak, as the scripture
Yeah,
talks about.
exactly.
So keep sowing and you'll see something.
It's kind of like watering the plants around here, right?
That's right. I
You
have.
don't water the plants, and then they're all dead.
Yep,
Oh.
absolutely. Yeah, I've got plants in my office here that need watering and stuff outside. One of them died. All right. So, look, I don't have this on the blog. By the way, Mother's Day is coming up, so I did write a blog on Mother's Day. And Mother's Day is a great opportunity to reach people and get people in your church and all that. But just go to blog.streamingchurch.tv and you can see some of our blogs we've written about, some of these things we've touched on in the past. And we'll probably get this one up probably pretty soon here about captivating your congregation. At least that's the title we got here. Don't forget about the webinar. We mentioned the webinar at the top of the podcast here. Just go to webinar.streamingchurch.tv and sign up for the, Preach Once, Inspire Daily webinar. It's coming up May 14th. And we'd love it if you were a part of that. We'll take some Q&A. So sign up for there at webinar.streamingchurch.tv. Okay, we're done. Anything else, Mr. Lacey?
That is it. I mean, it's there's there are no freebies in this world, right? So ministry is a lot of work, and unfortunately, there's all different avenues to do ministry now, and you gotta, if you want to see some fruits, you got to kind of work all those avenues.
You do, and you got to find out what's a good fit for your church and a good fit
Yeah,
for your
and what's
people.
working and what's not working, and cut the stuff off that's not working.
It's hard. All right, good. Hey, if we can help you in any way, please let us know. We don't have all the answers. We don't claim to, but we could certainly help your church. Just go to streamingchurch.tv. That's one of our products, and that's who we are. And if we can help you in any way, please, just reach out to us. And if you like this Church Solutions podcast, give us a rating, subscribe to it, and that would be very nice for us. And we're grateful for you spending some time with us. Thank you, Mr. Lacey. And most of all, thank you folks for spending some time here on the Church Solutions Podcast. My name is Phil Thompson. Thank you for the privilege of your time. We'll catch you next time on another episode.